Final Frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to wear short sweatshirts that go baggy at the waist, and to boldly start the series with the same joke with which we started the first series. Captain's log.
Yes, Captain Kirk.
Lift up your shirt, would you? I want to make an entry.
What?
In my Captain's Albert, Captain's log. Thank you. Captain's Albert, stardate 4279.12. It is now just over a year since our missions were interrupted by a radio program, and such an eventuality is no longer considered a threat, something for which I will be eternally grateful, as it was a great weight on my mind. Some time ago, Lieutenant Uhura slipped and accidentally sat on my head, which was also a great weight on my mind. Which brings me to a confession I must make. For having had a close-up of Uhura's ample but inviting bottom, I have become obsessed with it. However, nobody suspects this, and I am far too shrewd a person to give my secret away. At the moment, we are on the planet Wood, a planet which is entirely covered by trees, and...
Entirely covered? There's scarcely any trees at all.
What was that, Uhura?
Well, it's barely covered, is it?
No, but then I like your bottom barely covered. Maybe she didn't hear me. Yes, you're right, Uhura. For the planet Wood, which one would naturally assume to have wood in abundance, is almost completely devoid of wood. Spock, what can you make of it?
Oh, chairs, baseball bats, sideboards. Any number of things can be made of wood, Jim. Wardrobes, tea chests.
Spock.
Yes?
Don't be such a prat. Captain's log, have you any idea as to why there are so few trees on the planet Wood?
Yes, I have. Look at that sign over there. What does it spell out?
It spells out W-U-D-D. Wud?
Exactly.
You mean?
Yes. We have landed on a spelling mistake.
But what does this mean, Captain's log?
Well, it means that we'll have to leave and go on to the planet Wood, spelled W-O-O-D, doesn't it?
The Lapnet Wood slept W... I mean, the planet Wood pelts W... Captain's log, why am I speaking like this?
Ah, because as the name of this planet is a spelling mistake, all people who land on it talk in misspellings.
How come you're not talking in spelling mistakes, too?
Because as a long-time subscriber to The Guardian, I am immune to...
So, 1 minute later, we were back on board the Enterprise, heading for the planet Wood, spelt W-O-O-D.
Captain, I wonder if you could help me with a clue in my crossword puzzle.
Certainly, Mr. Scott, if I can.
Seven across, what's brown and about 3 feet off the ground?
Uhura's bottom.
Damn!
I mean, a pygmy's head, or a tabletop, or...
Ah, you're saying tabletop has given me an idea, Jim.
Just as long as it doesn't give him any ideas.
You were saying, Spock.
Well, our mission is to try to find an alternative supply of wood, since that most essential of Earth's commodities is fast running out, already causing a severe shortage of all things wooden, such as furniture, telegraph poles, and actors and neighbors.
So...
Well, rather than go to the planet Wood to organize the shipment of trees back to Earth, why do we not investigate the possibility of shipping back the objects of which the wood is needed? You know, tables, wardrobes, etc., therefore cutting out the middleman.
You're right, Spock. We should be headed for a planet entirely covered with furniture. Mr. Sulu, set course for the planet MFI immediately.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Now, 2 days later, finds us on the planet MFI. And by the look of it, only just in time, because I see they're having a closing down sale.
Fascinating. Furniture as far as the eye can see.
Spock, we don't want to make another mistake. You are quite sure that this is the planet MFI, are you?
Absolutely, Jim. The proof is over there, see? A woman who has just arrived home after visiting a pet shop to buy a new dog.
But how can a woman who has just arrived home after buying a new dog prove that we are on the planet MFI?
One of its legs has just dropped off.
Proof, indeed. Whereupon we immediately made tracks for the interior of MFI, and after first stopping to take advantage of the offer of a free loan of a roof rack for the Enterprise, we approached what looked like an MFI sales assistant. But after hearing her speak, it was quite obvious that she couldn't be an MFI sales assistant, because she said,
"Good morning, sir. Can I help you?"
What did you say?
Oh, sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Sorry. You see, I've only just started this job, and I haven't mastered the art of being surly yet. Now, how's this? Can't you see I'm busy?
Please, miss, our planet is running out of wood, and we urgently need furniture. So we'll take that bed there.
Sorry, you can't have that. That's just for show. If you want one of those, I shall have to order it for you.
And how long will we have to wait for delivery?
6 light years.
6 light years? That's a long time to wait for an item of furniture, isn't it?
It's not as long as our Swindon branch. They're up to 9 light years delivery now. And even then, they can't promise anything. Well, do you want me to order you the bed or not?
Please.
Do you want this model with the radio in the headboard?
It has a radio?
Yes, here, see?
And now it's time for A Look at Life. And this week, we visit a fish and chip shop.
Next, please.
Fish, chips, steak, pudding, jumbo sausage, meat pie, quarter chicken, curry sauce and peas, please.
Oh, sorry, I'm waiting for chips at the moment, love. There won't be a minute. Anybody not want chips?
Yes, me. 2 fish, please.
Right, 2 fish, is it? There you are, love. That'll be £1.60.
No, chips ready now, Doris.
Thank you, George. I can serve this gentleman now. What was it again?
Fish, chips, steak, pudding, jumbo sausage, meat pie, quarter chicken, curry sauce and peas, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. That last gentleman had my last 2 fish. There'll be a fresh batch ready shortly, though. Any of you others not want fish?
Meat pie and chips, please.
Right, coming up. That'll be 60p.
Fish ready, Doris.
Thank you, George. Now then, sir.
Fish, chips, steak, pudding, jumbo sausage, meat pie, quarter chicken, curry sauce and peas, please.
Coming up. Oh, I've just sold my last meat pie. Anybody not want meat pie?
Yes, me, I just...
Hey, hold up.
What's the matter?
Well, you've just sold my meat pie, haven't you? And before that, you sold me fish. But if this bloke here wants a steak pudding and you're selling me last one, I'm going to have to be here all night, aren't I? I'm never going to get me fish, chips, steak, pudding, jumbo sausage, meat pie, quarter chicken, curry sauce and peas, am I? I'm never going to get it, am I?
I don't want a steak pudding.
I don't bother what you
want. I only want chips and peas.
I'm not bothered what you want.
He only wants chips.
I'm not bothered what he wants. It's my turn next, and that's the end of it.
But I've just had a new batch of chips and loads of chips and peas.
Well, that's not the point.
She's got loads of chips.
Look, I'm not bothered what she's got, and you're not going before me.
But what harm will it do? I've got plenty of chips, and my pea pan is full to the brim.
A pea pan's full to the brim.
And it holds 5 gallons, my pea pan.
A pea pan holds 5 gallons.
5 gallons of peas I've got, and loads of chips.
Oh, all right then, serve him.
Right, so what was it, love?
A portion of chips and 5 gallons of peas.
You did that on purpose, didn't you?
I didn't.
There'll be some more peas ready soon.
Well, you can stuff your... Oh, what the hell. Well, if I've got to wait, turn the sound up on your telly. I can hardly hear it from over here.
Well, we have to be careful. They can play next door if we have it on too loud.
Hey, you, stop mauling the fruit, will you? Somebody's got to eat that.
How's that?
Oh, that's better. I can hear it now. Ooh, looks like a gangster picture.
This apple. Was this apple grown naturally?
Well, an apple is an apple is an apple.
Nose, check this apple out.
Okay, Michael. This apple has been sprayed with pesticides.
Then you know what to do.
Hey, what are you doing? Look, put that apple down. You'll have to pay for that.
Listen, my friend. I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Look, I already have a good wholesaler. Thank you very much.
Mr. Evans is from...
Right, boss.
What's that? He's in the place. Who do you people think you are?
My colleague and I are from the Organic Mafia.
Organic Mafia?
Yes, we represent the interests of my father, Don Nopaloni.
Don Nopaloni?
The Podfather, who is in the organically grown health food business. Don Nopaloni wants you to know that he would be forever in your debt if in future you sold only organically grown fruit and vegetables grown and supplied by the friends of Don Nopaloni. Do we have a deal?
What if I refuse?
Then we will reason with you, for we are reasonable men. You will wake up one morning with the head of one of your globe artichokes in bed with you. Failing that, you will get the other sort of artichokes.
Oh, you mean Jerusalem artichokes?
No, I mean my friend Artie comes round here and chokes you.
If I still refuse?
Well, the Podfather is a reasonable man. He would have you assassinated, but healthily. He will be pumped full of muesli and dumped in the nearest pollution-free river.
Well, in that case, how much are your apples?
Granny Smith's are 40 pence a pound.
Oh, come on. I can get Granny Smith for half that.
These are special Granny Smiths, organically grown. Granny Smith is the fertilizer. We buried her under the apple tree. So how many cases do you want?
Look, I don't want any. I don't think you'll kill me if I refuse to do business with you. I think you're bluffing.
We'll do worse than kill you. We'll turn you into a vegetable.
Well, why don't you then?
Nose.
Yes, boss.
What the... Hey, what do you think you're doing with that turnip?
Now smash the place up, Nose.
Yes, boss.
Just listen to that telly next door, Mabel.
It's shameful. I'm always complaining to them.
Well, I'll sort them out. I've had just about enough of them. Is that the Noise Abatement Society?
Hello?
Hello? Noise Abatement Society?
Hello?
Hello? Is that the Noise Abatement Society?
Can you speak up, please? I'm a bit deaf.
Is that the Noise Abatement Society?
Yes. Can I help you?
Yes, I'd like to complain about the excessive noise coming from the television set of the chip shop next door.
Hello?
I would like to complain about noise from next door's television.
Oh, good, because it's been a quiet day for me up until now. But it is excessive noise, is it? Because in my experience, a lot of people complain when the noise isn't all that bad.
Well, yes, but then you're a bit deaf, aren't you?
Hello?
Look, I want to complain about next door's television. It sounds like Rambo's been let loose in there.
Sounds like Dumbo's been let loose in there.
Rambo! You know the film about the Vietnam War hero.
I thought it was about a little elephant.
What?
I said I thought Dumbo was about a little elephant.
There's no need to shout. I'm not deaf.
Hello?
I said there's no need to... Look... Is there anyone else there that I could speak to?
Well, you could speak to our Mr. Adams, if you like.
Right. Put him on, then.
Hello? I said...
I said, put Mr. Adams on, then.
Oh, I'm going to put Mr. Adams on.
Yes, Adams here.
Oh, thank goodness. Look, I would like to complain about excessive noise emanating from next door's television set.
Hello?
I would like to complain about excessive noise from next door's television set.
Hello, is there anybody there? Hello?
Will you please put somebody on who isn't deaf?
I'll put on Mr. Agnew on.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
Is there anything...
There's no need to shout, sir.
Oh, at last. I'm sorry. Please, is there anything you can do about the excessive noise from next door's television?
Most certainly. Yes, the procedure is quite simple. We send round one of our experts, and if he deems the noise to indeed be excessive, then we have the power to put a stop to it.
So, could you do that for me then?
With pleasure, sir. Now, if you'll just give your name and address to our Mr. Grealish, he will look into the situation for you. I'll just put him on.
Hello? Hello, Mr. Grealish here again. Is anybody there?
Look, what's the point in you? I mean, you're deaf. Oh, blast, there goes the doorbell now.
Are you sure? I didn't hear anything.
Mabel, answer the door, would you?
I'm just going home, thanks.
Hello? Hello?
Good morning, madam. You have been chosen from hundreds of housewives to test, absolutely free, my company's exciting new product.
Really? Oh, smashing. This one's happened to Mrs. Armitage next door. She got to test a new dishwasher for 3 months.
Well, now it's your turn to be the lucky one.
We present the 17th minute of the show. And tonight it gives me no pleasure whatsoever to introduce Bob Monkhouse, who'll be giving us his very personal version of Deck of Cards. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Bob Monkhouse!
Thank you, Starmakers. In June of last year, in an army camp somewhere in Britain,
a young soldier came before a court-martial. His sergeant had discovered the young soldier playing cards one Saturday evening when he should have been watching Bob Monkhouse on television. When asked by the presiding officer of the court-martial why, the young soldier replied, "But sir, I have no need to watch Bob Monkhouse on television as long as I have this deck of cards. Because when I look at the ace, it reminds me that there is really only one Bob Monkhouse, although it sometimes feels like there's more than one. And when I look at the two, I am reminded of the two faces of Bob Monkhouse. One face that always has a smarmy smile, and another face that has an even smarmier smile. And when I look at the three, I'm reminded of Bob Monkhouse's three BBC shows, Bob's Full House, Bob Says Opportunity Knocks, and his soon-to-be-seen new show. Bob can do any sort of rubbish he likes at the BBC as long as there's the word Bob in the title. And when I look at the four and the five, I realize there are four letters in the word five, the same number of letters that there are in the word star. And it reminds me of what a star Bob Monkhouse is. And when I look at the six, I realize that there are six letters in the word breast. And that reminds me what a tit Bob Monkhouse is. When I look at the seven and the eight and the nine, I realize that when you multiply these numbers together, they come to 504, the number of years that Bob Monkhouse has been on television. And when I look at the ten, I realize that if you multiply the one and the naught, it comes to none, the number of years Bob Monkhouse should have been on television. And the young soldier said, when I look at the jack, that reminds me of the carjack that I'd like to hit Bob Monkhouse with. When I look at the Queen, it reminds me that if Bob Monkhouse was ever invited to Buckingham Palace to meet the Queen, he'd probably demonstrate his great wit by saying, "Somebody told me I ought to go and get knighted." But, said the young soldier, despite all the nasty things I've just said about Bob Monkhouse, when I look at the King, I realize that Bob Monkhouse is truly the one and only King of Comedy. And the presiding officer of the court-martial said, "You stupid pillock," and locked him up in a loony bin for 5 years.
Mr. Bob Monkhouse, ladies and gentlemen, a man who has done for Saturday evening television what Herod did for mother care. And now back to the lady who has been chosen to test a company's exciting new product.
And it's my bet you'll be even more thrilled than you think, Mrs. Woody Wiss, because not only have you been chosen, you will also be featured testing our exciting new product in no less a national newspaper than The Sun.
Oh, so what is it then, this exciting new product you want me to test?
And this.
What is it?
An artificial leg. The finest that we at Pogo Products manufacture, Mrs. Williams.
I mean...
Yes, Mrs. Williams?
Well, I mean, artificial legs are for people who only have one leg, aren't they? I've got two legs. I mean, I don't need an artificial leg, do I?
Mrs. Woody Wiss, allow me to introduce Pogo Products Company surgeon.
How do you do? I'm Dr. Talbot.
Well, how do you do, Doc? Here, why are you drawing that dotted line round my leg?
Do try to keep still, would you, Mrs. Woody Wiss?
Well, here, why are you drawing that dotted line round my leg? And what's that saw for?
Doctor is just going to saw one of your legs off, Mrs. Woody Wiss.
Saw one of my legs off?
Well, naturally, I mean, if he didn't, you'd have three legs. And you'd look pretty silly with three legs, wouldn't you?
Yes, but...
Here, hold your skirt up a minute while I stick the artificial leg under.
Oh,
so sorry. There. See, you look absolutely ridiculous, doesn't she, Dr. Talbot?
Yeah, ridiculous.
And apart from that, it's dangerous. I mean, ask yourself, what would it be like if you went to a cricket match? You'd have bowlers bowling at you. So if you'll just brace yourself...
Look, I do not want one of my legs cut off, thank you very much.
Oh, sorry. Can't have the artificial leg, then.
I don't want your artificial leg.
And you won't appear in The Sun.
Too bad.
Or on television. Well, goodbye then, Mrs...
On television?
Yes. There's the camera right there, you see. And there's the show's presenter, Mr. Boff, about to start.
Mr. Boff, Frank, is it? It's him, Frank Boff. And I'm going to be on a program with Frank Boff, you say?
Only if you let us saw one of your legs off. Live.
Give me a few minutes while I phone up all my friends, will you?
Don't be too long now.
I'll be right back.
Hello. Very good evening from me, Frank Boff. Nice to be back on the beat.
Are they suggesting...
Oh, it is. I told you it is Frank Bow, Fanny Oddie.
Boss.
Oh, hello, Mr. Bow. I'm Danny Seddon, and this is my wife, Fanny.
Yeah, we're very big fans of that hospital watch program you did, Mr. Buff.
Bow.
Yes, because we're into hospitals. We've been into hospitals ever since I went into St. Thomas's to have something removed.
And now, you see, we show our gratitude to the dedicated surgeons there by being hospital visitors.
Yeah, bringing succour to poor, unfortunate people in hospital.
And then, you see, when they come out of hospital... We go to their
funerals. I'll tell you something, Danny. Mr. Buff is a bit of a funny colour. I don't like his colour at all. I'll thread win that colour just before he died.
Our ceiling tiles was just that colour when they dropped off. And they was never the same after.
Maybe it's the wild parties that Mr. Buff used to go to that have caught up with him, Danny.
Wild parties.
Yes. Well, if you'll excuse me.
Well, we can't stop anyway, Mr. Bow. In fact, I'm on my way with Fanny to the hospital.
Oh, are you visiting someone?
No, I've got to have something else removed.
Something else removed.
Mr. Buff.
Bob. Yes. Well, as I was saying, the suggestion that she should have one of her legs sawn off has just been agreed by Mrs. Mabel Woodywiss, who is the lady you saw closing her front door just as we came on the air. And the intriguing question is, will Mrs. Woodywiss go through with it? Well, there's an excellent chance that she will, if our research is anything to go by, because our researchers have discovered that in the past, people have done some pretty extraordinary things in order to get on the box. A Dulwich woman once spent a week in a pit of cobras. A Hendon man had himself entombed in a graveyard for 100 days. Esther Ranson married Desmond Wilcox. And one young man was so desperate to get on television that he actually became Keith Chegwin. And on the subject of Cheggers, I have here with me his charming wife, Maggie Philbin, who is co-hosting the program with me.
Hello, everybody.
Maggie, I believe you've never actually seen anyone having their legs sawn off before, have you?
That's right, Frank, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, you won't have to wait long, because I see that Mrs. Woodywiss has now emerged from our house, and the doctor is just sharpening his saw. So, with any luck, we'll...
Yes, well, we seem to have temporarily lost that riveting program, I'm afraid. So, while we're trying to get it back for you, here's a reminder of some of the programs you'll be able to see later tonight on BBC Two. At 8:30, following his highly successful Floyd on Fish and Floyd on France series, Keith Floyd will be cooking a vindaloo curry and stewed prunes in the first of his new series, Floyd on the Lavatory. Then at 9 o'clock, there's another chance to see the award-winning documentary Television, Are There Too Many Repeats? This program will be repeated on Thursday and Saturday. Well, I gather that due to technical reasons, we won't be able to continue with the program you were watching, so here's another chance to see a repeat of the first program in our new mini-series set in Australia. We present Paul Hogan, Bill Kerr, Chips Rafferty, Chips Fish Steak Pudding Jumbo Sausage Meat Pie, Quarter Chicken Curry Sauce and Peas Rafferty, Bruce Greg Bruce, Greg, and Bruce Greg, in yet another bloody awful series about early Australia. Also starring in alphabetical order, Zeke Zacharias, and featuring Clive James as Ayers Rock. And not forgetting Ed Devereux. He's not in it, but we don't want to forget him.
Hey, Matt.
Yes, Phil?
And you others, Hilda and Zing. Yeah, you as well, Walt. Listen, I've got a suggestion to make. Why don't we have a national anthem?
Well, we have. We're all ignorant bastards.
No, that's a national anathema, you No, I'm talking about a national anthem.
What the hell's a national anthem, Huell?
Well, it's a sort of patriotic national song, Hilda, you know, like they have in England. God save our gracious king, long live our noble king, you know. Well, I think that somebody should write an Australian national anthem too, you see.
I already writ one, Huell.
Yeah, I know you did, Walt. But I don't think that God Save Foster's Lager is the kind of thing we're looking for. That'll never make a good anthem as long as my name's Huell Cummer.
Maybe not, but I bet I've written just the sort of song you're looking for, Huell.
You've written a song too, Zing?
Yeah, it's a real bonzer. Just listen to this. God save our gracious king, long live our noble king. God save the king. What do you think?
Well, the tune ain't bad, but the words are the same as the British words, aren't they?
Right, I think our anthem should be about a native of Australia, like a swagman.
What the hell's a swagman when he's at home?
Well, he's a sort of bush traveller, I think. If you want to know exactly, why don't you look up the word swagman in this Australian dictionary? I think it comes under S.
I'll do that. Let's see, S. That'll be on page 2, won't it? Here we are then. Sheep, a four-legged animal. Sheep, a four-legged animal. Sheila, a two-legged animal, not quite as smelly as a sheep. Sheep again, just in case you missed the previous entries. A four-legged... Here we are. Swagman. Somebody jolly once camped by a billabong under the shade of a coolibar tree and sang as he watched and waited till his billy boiled.
What absolutely ripper lyrics for a national anthem. Listen to this.
Once a jolly swagman camped by a billabong under the shade of a coolibar tree and he sang as he watched his billy boil.
What do you think?
Well, there's something not quite right about it.
Maybe if we use those words. Those words were Zing's tune. Look, I'll try it, see what it sounds like. Once a jolly swagman camped by a billabong under the shade of a coolibar tree and he sang as he watched and waited till his belly boiled.
Hey, that's a real beaut bonds a ripper, Gil. Now all we need is a last line to stop us being too snag short of a barbie.
Yeah, right on. Now, any of you got any ideas for the last line then? Walt, Zing, Matt, Hilda?
What? What was that you just said, Hugh?
I just said that... I said, have any of you got any ideas for the last line? Walt, Zing, Matt, Hilda.
No.
No, me.
Me neither.
No.
But I'll find one. You just see if I don't. I'll find a last line for our Australian national anthem, as sure as my name is Hugh Cummer.
That's it. Perfect.
What is?
We'll use our names as the last line.
What, our names?
Yes. Hugh, comma, Walt, Zing, Matt, Hilda.
Bonza, absolutely Bonza, Hilda. Come on, let's sing it.
Once a jolly swagman camped by a billabong under the shade of a coolibar tree and he sang as he watched and waited till his billy boiled. Walt, Hilda, he'll come a zing Matt with me. Walt, Hilda, he'll come a zing Matt with me. And he's crying as he walks and he's waiting till his billy boils. Walt, Hilda, he'll come a zing Matt with me.
You have been listening to Star Trek 2, starring Christopher Godwin, Jeffrey Holland, Susie Blake, and Fred Harris.
Vous avez écouté Star Trek 2 avec Christopher Godwin, Jeffrey Holland, Susie Blake, et Fred Harris.
The show was written by Terry Ravenscroft.
Terry Ravenscroft, le joke de hijack.
Produced by Martin Fisher.
Et Martin Fisher, le monsieur guillotine.